American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good Monday to you. That's right. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for when? Monday, March 28th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to make your life not so incredibly present. Present or pleasant? Well, it's not trying to do anything to you because core politicals don't do anything for you. They only take from you. So that's why we've got this show in effect to help you on your daily journey. This would be Newsreel. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, which you can get at Sean, S-E-A-N underscore Kennedy dot livejournal.com. And from there, you'll be able to follow along with all these great and wacky, wonderful stories I'll be relaying to you to help you on your way. You'll know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, "My God, am I ever glad I do not live in England." Nothing bad against the crooked teeth bastards. I have to say that most of the English people I've met have been very, very good, and the chicks have a sexy accent. However, I'm getting very concerned with the Gaelic estate that's going on over there. I mean, generally, if I was living in England, I would be moving out right about now. Either that or in the UK. I guess County Cork has just put in a Wi-Fi from some of the news that I got in. So maybe everyone from England should just migrate out to Ireland. Of course, me being a good Irish lad, I'm sure I would have some problems with that myself as it is. After all, they have enough problems trying to get the British out of Ireland. Never mind having them come further in. But I think we should probably let all bygones be bygones and try to open our arms against the greater enemy, which, without a doubt, some of the rules that are passing in the British government are just scaring the hell out of me. It really is kind of freaky. So this whole show is dedicated to those poor, oppressed people across the pond in the UK. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on the Rant Radio and the Box Music Networks. So make sure that you distribute that. And if you want to distribute this show, you're free to do that any way you see fit. If you run a station or connected to a station where you'd like to syndicate this daily news show, you're free to do so. Please contact Sumerian. That would be info@rantradio.com, and we'll set you up so that we can get more information to more people to keep freedom on the forefront. Now, we're going to get straight into some feedback here. Dear Sean, in California, the No Child Left Behind Act is truly taking its great toll on the children in schools. Now, the No Child Left Behind Act was this act where they had to just register all children and their progress. And, of course, it's being handed over to the military, so it's being used as a draft item as well. But that's neither here nor there. But the actual toll on schools from feedback from this guy is interesting. The act has made it mandatory for all schools to attempt to make each child able to go to college. In this ridiculous goal, they have left it up to the school districts to decipher how this goal is to be reached. So just make it happen. Many districts have some damaging changes in high schools by eliminating quote-unquote regular classes and grouping all regular classes with college prep classes. It's common sense that when you put a bunch of slow learners in a faster-paced class, the students will give up surrounded with intimidating students. Yes, now, understand also that learning slow isn't really bad. It's just learning different. I know a number of people that take longer to ingrain something. Once they have it, dude, they've got it solid. Their retention lasts longer, generally, if you learn more slowly. People who pick it up, you know, easy come, easy go, chances are if you learn slow, you have better retention and you're better able to recall the information you learned under times of stress. That's just my own personal information. Intimidating students. The school districts have recognized this, but they can continue to be cheaped by the education of students because of the grouping of classes increase the school's API score, which is how the school is measured. I'm sick and tired of statistics of schools screwing my peers out of an education they deserve. And that's from, I think that's Sly Shazbot. We're going to go Sly Shazbot. So that they sent me that, which is true. I mean, this whole concept of No Child Left Behind maybe, you know what happens when you spend too much time online? You begin getting a little cynical. And that's how I'm able to make all these crazy prophecies where I called it back in the day when I said, don't use AOL, don't use any recognized instant messaging service because they're going to wind up using that information against you. And lo and behold, just a few weeks ago, that's exactly what happens. And why was I able to make that call? The reason why is because I am a dyed-in-the-wool cynic. Yes, it's true. And if I think there's any possible way that the corporations can screw you over, well, I think they will. Why? Because we are a chattel, and don't think that you're not. You are bought and sold just like everybody else. Your specs, your statistics, and as information theft goes on, you'll be a victim of crime as well. Thanks very much to all these wonderful information we just freely distribute to all these corporations because we haven't got the nuts to say, no, I don't want your stupid club card. That is a big piss off for me. I've been in Safeway. I went to a Safeway one time and I'm sitting there and I'm just trying to buy some food, you know, and they're like, oh, do you have a club card? No, I don't have a club card. Well, you'll save, you know, 50 cents if you have a club card. I don't have a club card. The lady behind me in the lineup says, you can use my club card. And I'm like, no, lady, I don't want a club card. I don't want my purchases tracked. Thank you. And then everybody in the whole lineup looks at me like I'm a zombie, you know, like I'm bleeding out of my eyes. And all I'm saying is, and realistically, they're the ones who are messed up. I don't really get it. Like, they really just don't understand how incredibly screwed their rights are. It's just unbelievable to me how this can happen. And now we've got this new ruling coming in about internet rules. Like, you know, what is exactly everyone's fear of freedom? What is up with that? The Federal Elections Commission has begun the perilous process of including political blogs and websites in campaign finance rules that were created long before the internet became such a powerful political tool. Now, you're not allowed to say things online during a campaign. Now, this is a dangerous, dangerous ruling here. The FEC commissioners voted 5-1 on Thursday to approve a procedure that is expected to end with a final set of internet rules governing everything from whether bloggers are journalists to bulk political email in place by the end of this year. Now, of course, they're not going to be able to enforce this fucking thing, but if they catch you with it, what's going to happen is that'll be yet another charge that they can throw up against you. The article goes on to say, what we're arguing about is how much freedom people are going to lose on the internet, said FEC Commissioner David Mattson, a Republican. If we do it right, they won't lose much freedom. Well, how about we don't lose any freedom and there's no reason to regulate the internet? After all, you've got the political scene sewn up anyway, right? I mean, after all, you faked the last election. What do you care if we're just able to communicate a little bit? Holy cow. You know, we've already scrapped most of the ham radios out there because of all the interference we've thrown up with our special new Powerline IP grid thing they got going on. And there's all kinds of noise. And it's getting noisier and noisier. Let's just, you know, let's make sure that people just can't even talk. Why should they be, you know, allowed to talk openly in public places? Oh, no, we got free speech zones now. I mean, this is insane. This is insane. We won't lose much freedom. Well, you know what? I'd like to see why we need to have this here. I think that if anyone should be able to say whenever they want, it should be especially up to an election. But anyway, the FEC is in the unusual position of being required to extend the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, because of a federal judge's order last fall. The three Republican commissioners had tried to persuade their three Democratic colleagues to appeal U.S. District Judge Colleen Collar Coatley's decision to include the internet, but the Democrats refused. Ever since the FEC Commissioner Bradley Smith, a Republican, warned of the possibility of an impending internet crackdown in an interview with CNET News in early March, an army of bloggers has mobilized to impose the intrusive regulations, and members of Congress have warned the commission that its actions are being closely watched. Well, you can damn well bet they are. As a result, the Democratic commissioners on Thursday attempted to play down the significance of their opposition to the appeal a few months earlier. We're not the speech police, said FEC Commissioner Ellen Weintraub, a Democrat. The FEC does not tell private citizens what they can or cannot say on the internet or elsewhere. Well, quite clearly, you are. Quite clearly, that is exactly what you are doing. And, you know, if you're not going to let us talk, then what's the point? You know, if everyone's all for, you're either for free speech or you're not. If you're not for free speech, fair ball, guy. You know, but don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. Quite obviously, you're concerned about people talking on the internet. Otherwise, we wouldn't even be looking at these laws. You're obviously quite concerned. The last thing that our government wants is transparency. Who the hell wants it to be transparent? You know, because then the truth will get out. And once we all know the truth, well, things are going to get a lot different in Washington, I'll tell you. We'd probably lose a whole lot of people's jobs. You know, realistically, how much government do we need, period? Never mind, from even with the current model, how many commissioners and, you know, different, you know, organizations and studies do we really need? Like, how much of our taxpayers' dollars is spent in administration? There's got to be a way we can streamline this, especially if we could just get a little bit more transparency. Let's take the government, make them accountable. We'll make a flow chart for every single tax dollar, and we can all look it up online. How's that for transparency? I think that's a good idea. And from outside the Raelians, which is really funny, Samarian and I got sent, this is a footnote, Samarian and I got sent this thing from this guy who I guess thought, you know, we wanted to share some information with you. We got knocked on the door by virtual Jehovah's Witnesses. Only they weren't Jehovah's Witnesses. They were Raelians. The Raelians actually tried, some Raelian out there tried to recruit us by saying, you know, we're the last religion, and if you can just join our open sex cult, that'll be a lot of fun. Unfortunately, you know, I love it when people, that's like Scientologists trying to recruit me. I love that stuff. It's like, dude, do I appear, I'm kind of insulted by that, you know, because do I even remotely appear to be the kind of person who would believe that a race car driver got taken to another planet on the side of a hill? You know, he parked his car, jumped in a spaceship, fucked off to another planet and met a bunch of robots? Because that's what the Raelians believe. And I'm sorry, thanks very much. I don't believe in magic rocks. I don't believe in dead guys on sticks. And I don't believe that Rael flew to another planet and talked to Jesus, Buddha, Muhammad, and they were all fucking robots. Okay, so thanks very much. But all you Raelians, please try to distribute your harmful matter to other people. Now, the Raelians have this big thing with cloning, and I think that cloning is important. I think that technology should be used. I think it's something that can improve everyone's life. You know, I've been recently, somebody sent me some stuff regarding technocracy, and I'm very much, kind of, I have a lot of libertarian viewpoints, I have a lot of transhumanist viewpoints, so technology should be used, and there's going to be some growing pains, but I just want to make sure we do it as safely as we can. And then what's happening now is in South China, they've now cloned the first water buffalo, which is kind of neat. The world's first water buffalo cloned from somatic cells were born Thursday morning in South China's Guangxi Zhuang Autonomous Region. The buffalo's heart rate, temperature, and breathing were normal about 30 minutes after birth. The calf stood up and nursed, said Dr. Shi Desun, head of the research project at Guangxi University. The calf, born at 4:15 a.m., weighed 23 kilograms, was 86 centimeters long, and 65 centimeters to the tail, blah, 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 a bunch of specs on the calf. But it goes down to say, the birth of the calf proves our somatic cell clone technology is mature. This technology will greatly promote cattle breeding in China, said the doctor. Well, that'll be interesting because China, as we all know, has a huge populace, and it's only growing, and they're becoming a huge drain on world resources, which will be interesting to see if the United States backs Taiwan just so they can cause a little bit of damage to China, because if they don't, eventually, you know, the United States and China are going to lock horns. So that's why this all ties in with all the other news, as you can see. Now, the thing is with this cloning, you also got to bear in mind that they just found, and you've no doubt heard about this, I haven't covered this in the news, but no doubt you have heard that the T-Rex, they found some soft tissue for a Tyrannosaurus Rex. In case you lived under a rock, the T-Rex being the 30-foot-long lizard that's prominently featured in Jurassic Park movies. Now, I was listening to the radio the other night, listening to Coast to Coast, and it came out that there was a sort of a survey he did where he said, you know, hey, if they put it to a vote of whether you should clone the T-Rex or not clone a T-Rex, like if it was put to like a worldwide vote, you know, and you had a choice of either cloning the T-Rex or not cloning the T-Rex, where would you vote? And I thought that was a really good question, so I put that out to you as well. Where would you vote if, you know, if it came down to the line? Me, personally, I say do it. I say do it. Let's clone the T-Rex. I mean, the amount we could learn from that would be huge. We'd at least be able to see what their patterns and markings were like, because I'm getting sick of, you know, all these non-uniform markings on these T-Rexes. I'd like to see what their skin color is and stuff like that. And plus, I mean, how cool would that be? Furthermore, let's talk about bioweapons for a minute. You know, if you want to have a region where you want to have, like, an attack animal that keeps your base secure, why not just use T-Rexes, you know? They're pretty good. They got a lot of intimidation. You know, we could maybe we could wet wire them a little bit. And if we clone them, right, then a company can own them. So we'll get like Monsanto, right? They'll clone the T-Rexes and they'll use them to protect genetically modified crops. And we can wet wire and we'll give them to the Japanese to wet wire the T-Rexes. And I think it'd be a good idea to have, you know, core politically owned wet wire Tyrannosaurus Rexes as guard dogs for genetically modified crops. But maybe I'm reading too far into this, but that's probably what's going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised if they really did do that just for bioweapon. Because realistically, you know, for the if you heard that the enemy army was cloning T-Rexes and was going to use them in trench warfare, wouldn't that, say, scare the shit out of you? Because I don't know of a battle rifle, really, that's general issue that would stand up to a T-Rex. You can see everyone going back to the M14 pretty goddamn fast. Now, back to the United States of America, we'd like you to please... Dear United States of American government, not the people, because they're very nice, but the government scares the shit out of me, stop lying about weapons of mass destruction, if you please. Listen to this. In an effort to increase pressure on North Korea, the Bush administration told its Asian allies in briefings earlier this year that Pyongyang has exported nuclear material to Libya. And it was a significant new charge, the first allegation that North Korea was helping to create a nuclear weapons state. Dun, dun, dun. But that's not what U.S. intelligence reported, according to two officials with detailed knowledge of the transaction. North Korea, according to intelligence, had supplied uranium hexafluoride, which can be enriched to weapons-grade uranium, to Pakistan. It was Pakistan, a key U.S. ally with its own nuclear arsenal, that sold the material to Libya. The U.S. government has no evidence, the official said, that North Korea knew of the second transaction. So they sold it to one people, they sold it to the other people. And although Pakistan... who's a U.S. ally, is selling shit to Libya to create a nuclear state. They're not saying nothing there. They're saying, no, it's all North Korea. Now, this is typical power move bullshit. Okay? If I understand the need to try to, you know, posturing and angling and all that kind of crap, but it wouldn't it be nice if we could get past all this cloak and dagger bullshit on the world stage for just a little while? Wouldn't that be cool if we could just, you know, stop being assholes to everyone on the planet? I recognize, and I do recognize, that there is a legitimate means for covert operations. Like a while back, I was talking about that terrorist, cleric who was grabbed in Egypt and they flew him to another country and tortured the shit out of him. And, you know, they were trying to, well, you know, quote-unquote tortured him. You know, because there's torture and then there's torture. People need to read. There's a great book called The Tenth Layer of Hell. I think it's called The Tenth Circle of Hell. And it talks about, what these rape camps were and stuff like that in Bosnia. So to say torture and stuff like that to people, it's kind of funny because torture gets all lumped into one sum. If I'm put in a room denied food and water, does that equate to torture? I suppose on some scale. But you can't compare the suffering I would endure by being denied food and water and maybe having my clothes taken away to some of the shit that people have endured in other times of war. So there's like varying degrees of torture, which I find to be kind of weird. So I think that, I understand that it is necessary to do that, you know, to figure out who's in charge of what. You got to go out there and get, you know, the dirt down for these radical terrorist groups and stuff like that. Because there are radical terrorist groups. There's radical terrorist groups in Ireland. There's radical terrorist groups all over the world. Okay, so we have to be able to deal with those. However, what if, you know, you were to just kind of be a little bit more honest with some of these countries and say, look, okay, you know what, we overextended. We're going to pull our people back. You know, what is this huge push right now? That everyone's going wacko? Is it like this huge grab that everyone's afraid that China's going to grab the world and everybody's going to grab the world if there's not enough world for everyone? So, I mean, this is exactly the kind of stuff that happens before a major, major war. And it's freaking me out over here because I get all these news stories every day and it's getting worse and worse. So, you know, I would seriously, if now more than ever, all the stuff we talk about with encryption and making sure that you have your own identity secure and all that kind of stuff, realistically, you need to take a solid look at this. Whether or not you agree with me, whether or not you agree with Sean Kennedy and all my crazy viewpoints, that's fine, okay? If you hate me, that's great, okay? But the thing is that you cannot deny that we are on, you know, the edge of something pretty big here. And it's not about who's right. It's going to be about who's left, I think, after this is all said and done. So that's something to chew on for a little bit. Now, they're talking about implementing the National Counterterrorism Center, and this was from Secrecy News, which is an email, which is a newsletter I subscribe to. Very, very good stuff on here. Pig Monkey turned me onto it. And I've got a link to the original PDF here, but it says they're talking about implementing the National Counterterrorism Center, the NCC, which, you know, is kind of interesting. The ambiguities in the conception of the new National Counterterrorism Center, NCTC, may lead to complications in its implementation, a new report from Congressional Research Service says. Now, did you know about the NCTC? I didn't know about these guys. The NCTC was initially established by executive order in August 2004, really, and then enacted into law by Congress in December 2004. But there are inconsistencies between the order and statute. The CRS explains mainly concerned with the duties of the NCTC director. So the guy who's in charge, they're not really sure what his duties are. Although technically a statute trumps an executive order, these inconsistencies may nevertheless complicate the inevitable growing pains associated with establishing an effective, nationally coordinated counterterrorism intelligence effort, the CRS says. Now, I'm a little concerned about the national counterterrorism intelligence effort. You know, that's kind of Orwellian. You know, do we really need, like, isn't the National Counterterrorism Center, how is that different from Homeland Security? You know, do we really need this? Is that really there? So the National Counterterrorism Center implementation challenges and issues for Congress was updated March 24th, 2005. Check it out. You can get the PDF from my LiveJournal site. And I find that to be a little disturbing that this is the first I've heard of this. And I bet you it's the first you've heard of it, too. Now, sometimes I think there should be prerequisites before you're able to listen to the show. Like, one of the things I think everyone should do is get out there and actually see the film Gattaca. Because Gattaca is one of those scary kind of movies that are really, you know, turning into a prophecy of our future. Be it good, be it bad. It seems like that film is becoming just a massive prediction for our culture. And this next news story really does kind of, you know, cement that in my mind about designer babies. Now, I'm not so much against designer babies. Let's do the article first here. Designer baby plans to allow parents to undergo fertility treatment and choose the sex of their unborn babies have split an influential group of lawmakers that have reignited the debate over designer babies. Couples should be able to decide the gender of the embryo being implanted, Parliament's Cross-Party Science and Technology Committee said on a report published Thursday. And why not? But the half of the committee's 11 members rejected the findings as unbalanced and light on ethics. Yeah, critics say sex selection would turn unborn babies into consumer items, that's a bit strong, and could pave the way for parents choosing the characteristics such as hair or eye color. Now, what's the problem with that? I don't really see a huge problem with that. You're not affecting children, not saying this child is no good. You're just saying that we're going to enhance certain things about the child. The use and destruction of embryos does raise an ethical issue, and there are the grounds for caution, the report concluded, but added, on balance, we find no adequate justification for prohibiting the use of sex selection for family balancing. So, on balance, we find no adequate justification for prohibiting the use of sex selection. So they're saying that they can do it. The onus should be on the opponents of sex selection for social reasons to show harm from its use, the report said. Which is true. I mean, if you're going to have a child, okay, let me finish this off here. The committee said regulators should lose their powers because they could see no role for them in determining how an embryo is screened before being implanted into a woman's womb. The report, which makes recommendations into the future of Britain's 15-year-old fertility laws, also said controversial research, such as implanting human cells into animals, should be considered subject to regulation. Now, how do we stand on this one here? I'll tell you how I stand on it, which is that if I'm going to have a child, okay, I have eyeglasses. I wear eyeglasses. Chances are you probably wear eyeglasses too. It's a genetic thing, supposedly. So if I had the chance of making my child not able to wear eyeglasses, I would do that. If I had a chance to take out any genetic deficiencies of my children, because, say, I'm, you know, let's suppose I could make my child smarter or influence my child by improving more, you know, gene therapy while they're in a very underdeveloped stage, you know, while they're still being developed. I'm all for that. I think my wife might have something to say about it, but generally, I don't see a problem with that. And, you know, of course, maybe that's a distinctly tech guy thing where you'd want to have, like, Uber child. But I don't see a problem with this. If you can, you know, give your child a hand up in the world to try to stop you from making decisions regarding your own children and then claiming it's ethical, I don't know. Science is a tool for everyone. It's not just for the educated. It's for everybody. So if you want to enhance and truly enhance, maybe changing your child's hair color isn't really enhancement. I don't think that matters. But if you have a chance to enhance your child, why not do that? Why not give them the edge, so to speak? I just don't think it's a really big, bad idea. But, you know, that's something that Britain will have to decide. And something that I've already decided, though, is this massive ANPR, automatic number plate recognition system, they've already got on the books over there. Listen to this for the eyes of server. Listen to this one as a method of tracking people. The national rollout of the UK police's ANPR, automatic number plate recognition system, is kicking off with the goal of deploying a network of over 2,000 cameras on motorways, major roads, and city centers. The system is claimed to be able to run database checks on 3,600 plates an hour on vehicles traveling up to speeds up to 100 miles per hour, but there are just a few snags. The UK ANPR system is intended to automatically alert police if the car is stolen, if road tax hasn't been paid, or the MOT is out of date, or if the driver is uninsured. So basically, if you screw up at all, this thing is going to grab you. For good measure, it's supposed to check whether there's a warrant for arrest out against the driver, or whether the driver, for some reason, is under police surveillance. All this is done by the system. Register, which is where I got the story from, readers, being quick, most of you have spotted a few slight snags there. We'll get back to them. Most of the immediate problems start with the database being checkered. The DVLI is currently improving the road tax database and computerizing MOT tests. But although some people can now renew their road tax online, the site is down for engineering this weekend, so we'll be able to give it a leak. The ability is to use some currently substantially... is currently substantially limited by the rareness of MOT centers handling the new size of computerized certificates. So, and the article goes on talking about this new system and how they're trying to get it implemented, but the cameras are in place. The cameras are in place, and yes, there's going to be some hiccups, and maybe it's going to get out of beta, but do you think they're going to, you know, discover that this isn't working? No, this is the next gen, and you can bank it's going to happen over here. They've got the population density to do that over there, so you can bank when they get it up and running. Whatever company sets that up is going to be selling this to every corporation in the world. If you think we're under surveillance now in North America, you haven't seen anything yet. Oh no, we're not even getting warmed up yet. We're getting upset about the whole concept of a national ID card. When you look across the pond, Europe's way ahead of us in that. Oh yeah, they're practically all lab rats over there. Nobody's got any freedom over there. So that's something you want to think about when you're, you know, considering whether or not you give a shit about Terry Schiavo. But I'll get back to her in a few minutes. Don't you worry about that. Now, also in the United Kingdom, that home of the Gattaca State, Britain just scares the shit out of me. This whole show just, I mean, I could do a whole show. I've done a number of shows where Britain is always showing up in the news. Well, check this out. The UK has just done some stuff where they're unmasking net anonymity, and this is kind of severe. The tenuous nature of online anonymity was underlined yesterday thanks to the final ruling in the Motley Fool libel case. Now listen to this. Terry Smith, chief executive of the city firm Collins Stewart Tullett, won undisclosed damages, that's scary, from Jerry Benjamin, a fund manager. Benjamin had posted what he now accepts as false allegations on the Motley Fool forum, www.fool.co.uk, under the pseudonym Analyzer71. So this guy, this is all having to do with stock and things like that. In a statement made to the High Court on the postings, the postings were described as serious allegations of criminal and dishonest financial wrongdoing by Mr. Smith and the claimant companies and a grave slur on Mr. Smith's personal and professional integrity. That's what The Guardian said. Now, understand that even still, this is just online. So a guy went online and said some shit about those other dudes. So he flamed, and then Buddy, who got flamed, sued him because he said it did damages. As well as paying damages described as substantial, Benjamin will also pay the legal costs of Smith's and his firm, estimated to be 3 times the amount of the settlement. That's estimated, though, nothing confirmed. Benjamin was unmasked from being, because this Benjamin guy was Analyzer 71, but he got unmasked by a court order compelling Motley Fool to reveal the details it held on the poster known as Analyzer 71. Now, this to me tells me that I'm not going to tell anyone my true identity of my nick, and you shouldn't. I have people who give me their real names and email. Don't do that. Don't do that. I don't want to know your real name. I value you. I have a method to refer to you, and I thank you, but don't tell me your real names just in case something goes wrong. I like having a dead man switch. I don't mind being double blind. That's okay. The IP address associated with his postings was then tracked back to a computer of his then-employer's Kite Fund Management. And you can bet when they got knocked on the door, they gave him up without a fight. 49 other computers viewed the postings before they were removed by the site administrators. So only 49 people saw Buddy's flame post. Oliver Smith, a member of Terry Smith's legal team at Rosenblatt, told The Guardian, 49 may not seem like a large number, but they could have been 49 influential people in financial services, and they could have copied the messages and sent them to other influential people. Yes, and they could have, like, sent them into space, and they would have, could have. This is, like, total open speculation. But the bottom line here is that they managed to unmask a dude by what? By demanding that Motley Fool hand over his personal information. So what does this mean? This means don't give anyone your online information, especially if you're playing games like this. If you think you're going to be involved in some sort of controversial web work, for God's sakes, don't use your real name. Make sure you can hide. Make sure that stuff has got some dead man switches between you and them so they can't get back to you. Things need to be said. And now, since everything's going rampantly Orwellian and totally, you know, loss of freedom, now more than ever, things need to be said. But just make sure you protect yourself because it's getting crazy. Now, this next story is in regards to this Terry Schiavo thing. Now, I haven't done any talking about Terry Schiavo. For a reason, because it's all over everywhere. You can't turn on the radio without hearing about this Terry Schiavo thing. So check this out. Seminole, Florida, I believe. A man was arrested after trying to steal a weapon from a gun shop so he could take some action and rescue Terry Schiavo, authorities said. Michael Mitchell of Rockford, Illinois, entered Randall's Firearms Incorporated in Seminole just before 6 p.m. on Thursday with a box cutter, and tried to steal a gun, said Marianne Pasha, a spokesman for the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. Mitchell, who's 20 and obviously unstable, told deputies he wanted to take some action and rescue Terry Schiavo after he visited the Pinellas Park Hospice where she lives. Mitchell was in custody in the Pinellas County Jail Friday after a judge set his bail at a total of $120,000 on the four charges of armed robbery, grand theft, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and criminal mischief. Now, let's not get me started on whether or not a box cutter is a deadly weapon, but that's never mind. The feeding tube that has kept Schiavo alive for more than a decade was removed March 18th over objections from her parents. Schiavo's husband said his wife, too, would not want to be kept alive artificially. His signing order, blah, blah, blah. Doctors have said she would probably die within a week or two after the tube being pulled. Randy McKenzie, owner of Randall's Firearms, said Mitchell pulled out the box cutter and broke the glass on a couple of display cases. A miracle to me that this Randy guy didn't just blow him away. He told me if I wasn't on Terry's side, then I wasn't on God's side either, McKenzie told the Associated Press. Now, it's great how they tried to play down the fact that this guy's obviously a completely psycho, rabid religious fanatic. And it's these religious fanatics that are getting in the way. And the closer this Terry Schiavo chick comes to dying, and I call her a chick because she's not really a chick, she's basically a rotting vegetable. She has been imprisoned. Whatever energy she has, let's assume now that she isn't a vegetable. Let's assume that all these mass speculation reports are correct and she's been able to say, help me. She's, you know, made indications that she has a strong desire to live, and her brain, according to the x-ray, like, there's everything on either side of the fence. Some people claim that, you know, it's all speculation and she wants to live. She wants to live. Well, you know what? It's not much of a life. She doesn't do anything. Okay? Now, this whole issue brings up huge amounts of stuff here. Okay? Because you're going to talk, well, what are you saying here, Sean? I'm saying, I don't think they should have pulled out her feeding tube. I think they should have just hit the switch, you know? Run some voltage through her or something. I think having her starve to death is kind of sad. You know, I'd be all for the 12-gauge brainstem solution myself. Just, you know, turn her off. She's obviously, like, this is not a quality of life. Even if she was, like, you know, had some mental function, which it's not up to debate that she is not brain damaged. They're just saying they're arguing about the degree of brain damage. But she's been, you know, tanked in a bed for 15 years. Just let her die. Just let it go, man. Let it go. And, it's tragic and there's all this shit, but you know what? There's kids all over the United States on life support. This is grandstanding. This is just exploitation of this woman's plight. And it makes me nuts. You know, do you think there's, this is, you know what, Michael Jackson isn't holding our attention, so now they're going to pull at the heartstrings? This is a classic example of giving people a target. You know, the last thing they want is people protesting the war. They don't want people talking about political decisions that are being made. They don't want people talking about their rights going down the shitter. So what do they point you at? They give you the infuriating case of Terri Schiavo, where, you know, you got to be dead not to have an opinion on this thing. So they, you know, they trump that up, and is she going to live or die? And there's all these appeals. Oh, my God. And none of this at all changes anything on a global scale. Now, there's some people that have said that if the, you know, because of this ruling, when the mad cow disease come out, they're going to start killing everyone. Alex Jones has been freaking out about how horrible it is that all this is happening, you know, from a religious perspective. I do not have a religious perspective. I see this individual as being damaged, and has been damaged for quite some time. And had I been in her position, I would want to be turned off, or at least cryogenically frozen. You know, just, you know, end it. But, you know, the religious group, they're freaking out. You know, every life is precious, and off they go with their thing. Which, you know, that's fine, but you got to look at it. You know, can you honestly say that her quality of life is worth a damn? Well, that's not for you to judge. Yeah, it is for me to judge. Yeah, it is for me to judge. I believe in the golden rule. And the way I see it is do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So it'd be my call to turn her off. That's all I got to say about that. And the thing that's freaky about it is how violent all these, you know, moral majority types get. Oh, yes, everyone's concerned about, you know, the video game playing kids. Everyone's concerned about kids who listen to Marilyn Manson. But Jesus, what about these guys reading the Bible? You know, they're the ones out there quoting scripture, running around, breaking into gun stores to shoot people because they're trying to let a medical procedure go through, which is what this is. What else do you want to call it? I don't think she should be made to starve to death, because what's the point of that? I don't think no one's got the balls to just say, yeah, because whoever pulled the tube, they killed her. Okay? Even though they didn't do no hunger, fuck off, dude. You pulled the tube, you killed her. So you may as well, rather than let, you know, this organism, you know, go through the withdrawal and all that crap, just turn her off. You know, run some voltage through her and end it. Call it a day. You know, because I'd rather be checked out that way, or maybe by an injection, which is really nice. You know, kills all the pain, and that's it. Release her. If there's life after death, you know, she can go on to the next cycle. She can respawn somewhere else. But it's not enough for these Christians who want to go out there and start freaking out over Terri Schiavo. You know, save the vegetables. You know, it's not enough for them to do that. They've also got to freak out on national monuments. Now, if I want to put up a monument in a national park, for whatever reason, I should be able to do that. But in Georgia, there's these things called the Georgia Guidestones. Now, listen to this. The Georgia Guidestones have been part of the landscape in Elberton, Georgia, for a quarter of a century. Tourists flooded to Elberton each year to see the 19-foot-tall granite monument, often posing for pictures standing beside it. Now, I'm pretty up on my weird monuments, but I didn't hear this thing. After 25 years, a Christian organization named The Resistance, Jesus, is calling for the monument's immediate removal. The Resistance. I should get a link on those guys, the Christian Resistance. That sounds vaguely militant. The satanic Georgia Guidestones must be destroyed, insists John Connor of The Resistance. Good God. The Guidestones should be smashed into a million pieces and then the rubble used for a construction purpose. Yes, but John Connor, isn't that the guy who was supposed to lead us against the war against the machines? John Connor? But anyway, the Guidestones should be smashed into a million pieces, he said. These granite blocks. The notion of hacking the monument into smithereens for constitution or for construction scrap, pardon me, has a certain appeal, given the hype of how it came to dominate the lonely landscape in the first place. The Georgia Guidestones were ordered, constructed, and paid for in total anonymity. Nobody knows who ordered the construction of these things, but they're massive. Okay, 19-foot granite blocks, but nobody knows who paid for it. So we have a secret society obviously involved. Now, the Georgia Guidestones, aside from being anonymous, the monument, which has stood since 1980, so it showed up in 1980, consists of four large stones with 10 commandments engraved into the side in 8 different languages. Now, listen to these 10 commandments. They aren't the 10 commandments. These are just 10 commandments. Maintain humanity under 500 million and in perpetual balance with nature. Now, that's a little frightening because it says 500 million, from what I see here, and we have 4 billion there. That's a lot of body bags. That's commandment number one. Number two, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Well, that's very eugenic. Number three, unite humanity with a living new language. So one language, you know, Ein Reich, Ein Volk, Ein Führer. Rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Balance personal rights with social duties. Prize truth, beauty, love, and seeking harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. So what they're saying here is this whole thing is treating humanity just like another animal, from what I can see here. Because if you were just going to breed animals, you'd want to adhere to these kinds of laws. But me personally, I have a little trouble deciding who gets to spawn and who doesn't. I also have huge problems with killing, you know, 4 billion people on the planet just because some rocks in Georgia say so. But since the Georgia Guidestones are ordered destroyed, that's fine. But they're just got 10 commandments with them on them that I don't agree with all of them, so that's fine. But you can't destroy them, Captain Psycho Christian Resistance Group, because if you do, that means we get to destroy all the 10 commandments everywhere in every site of stone. So if we want to take down all obvious, and is this really religious? I don't think they talk about God too much. They talk about harmony. And they talk about harmony with the infinite, but there's no real reference of God here. And I definitely wouldn't call it satanic. There's nothing that talks about Satan here. So it seems to me this is just a massive slur campaign for intolerance, and it should be treated as such. Now, in the upswing, I have a bit of information, and this is cool because I got a CD sent to me, okay? And I get CDs sent to me all the time, but these guys are very, very cool. And it does my heart good to see this. Now, there's a new musical group that's from a story, and this is released from their website. I'll read the release, okay? Seattle, Washington. The new musical group Triad, who I've got their CD, today announced that its 4 members formed a virtual band across the ocean through a copyright reform organization, Creative Commons, which you may or may not know about. The 4 members, Vavrick and Arna, in Seattle, John Halowich in Ohio, and R.J. Marshall in Japan, says they've combined musical talents through the open copyright licensing options at Creative Commons. RJ has posted a song on his website, and I just knew I had to rework it into something different, said Hollowatch. When he heard it, he was impressed by the work I had done on it. He was eager to spread the piece around. Shortly after that, Vavrick added vocals, and the rest is history. Creative Commons is a non-profit organization which allows owners of intellectual property to license for free their work so others may build upon it. Now, when I'm done, finally done all my After Now stuff, and this is probably going to be closer to the end of my life, but when I'm done with all the After Now stuff, I'm probably going to do that with most of my work so that other people can build on it, the same way that people have done this with H.P. Lovecraft. And I think the whole concept of it is brilliant. Triad says they plan on continuing the generosity of the built themselves on their licensing their content in the same fashion, hoping to be the first successful music group to do so. And I really think this deserves some support. Because if you don't support things like this, they disappear. And that means you, as an individual, have to support groups like this. Now, everyone knows that supporting groups sometimes can be difficult because sometimes, well, they suck. It's true. You know, you go listen to Buddy's band and they suck. But these guys don't suck. And that's the best part. There's nothing better because normally you'll get bands like this and, you know, they're trying really hard, but God love them. And some of their stuff sucks. But these guys don't suck. And they're cool, and that makes it awesome. I think we can make the group work without needing stringent copyright protection, says R.J. Marshall. I mean, why wouldn't we want others to have the same benefits we did? They also hope that through freedom offered by the license, they will be the first of a new age of artistic creativity. These guys are forefront. Whether or not they make it, whether or not win, lose, or draw, they have the virtue of being first, which, as according to this article, I guess if they're not first, they're definitely one of the first. And we're going to spread that around. And I think that this just for them doing this, releasing their album, for them being as good as they are, you know, I totally hats off to these guys. And I think it's absolutely fantastic that this band exists and that this could be a new age. It goes on to say here, what we have is the dawning of a modern day renaissance, says Vavrick. Much of like how the advent of the printing press brought about drastic scientific and social revolutions, we're experiencing a creative explosion brought about by using internet technologies and open licensing. This cultural revolution is happening on a global scale, and it's because of shows like Newsreel because of stations like the Box Music Network and Rant Media, and because of bands like Triad, that we are moving forward and the revolution is moving forward. And it's very important that we give these organizations our support. I mean, you may want to go pick up a t-shirt. They're releasing a new album. I'll report on this next month. And I'm excited about that. I am excited about that. Yeah, I think people should buy the album. You're damn straight. For nothing more, no more, even if you don't like the music, which you will, because it's cool. But the thing is that it's the support of this kind of movement. It's very important that we support it. It's very important that we have some unity. And at least these folks here are putting out a decent product. And that is what, you know, if they sucked, it kind of makes for a bad statement on the whole movement. Because obviously, well, they're not very good. So, you know, obviously you need to have bullshit copyright intellectual laws in order to put out a good product. And that's not the case. And that's great. It really gives me hope to see this band. On to the Daily Hack. Now, this is a wild website. Check this out. Who's a rat? The largest online database of agents and informers. You know, I've oftentimes thought about something like this, but I didn't know it actually existed. Who's a Rat is a database-driven website designed to assist attorneys and criminal defendants with few resources. Check this out. The purpose of the website is for individuals and attorneys to post, share, and request any and all information that is made public at some point to at least one person of the public prior to posting it to the site, pertaining to local, state, and federal informants and law enforcement officers. So this is about where people who are witnesses and informants live, who they are, things like this. This is amazing, this site. To view all the profiles, click either informant or agent located bottom right of the homepage. Search profiles, select a profile type, click drop-down menus, choose either an informant, agent, or a lawyer, and leave the search keyword blank. And it goes on for how to use the site here. Now, this is amazing that you are able to do searches on informants, because you'd think that this would be, yet again, more anonymity. And I'm here to tell you, you know, maybe we should all legally change our names 5 or 6 times. Maybe we should really start taking measures to make sure that we can retain some form of privacy. Maybe that should be the first layer of defense, because when you can get a website like Who's a Rat handing out information on agents and informers, this is incredible. The fact is, so by the sheer state of it existing, that's why it's today's Daily Hack. What an unbelievable resource to have at your disposal. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, you know, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast, free to distribute and free to you, brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight against the tyranny. And those people are Anonymous, Topek, Jesse, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Anthony, Robert, Dual Parallel, Anonymous, Michael, Andrea, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Tech Freak, Keith, Malcolm, Peter, Forleet, Timor, Peter, Plasmonic Grid, Christopher, Rosalie, Richard, Matt, Greg, WebLife, Evan, David, Brian, Austin, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Host, Mojo, Mainframe, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Helgon, Art, Diremute, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Anonymous, and Jason. And as well, new subscribers for this month. The month is almost over. Kevin, Steve, Philip, Steve, Charles, Matt, Brandon, Kevin, and Mark. And if you would like to get on as a new subscriber and get your name read out all month, or just donate, please help keep this daily news broadcast on the air by visiting rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Special thanks to some hard netrunners who brought me the information today, and therefore to you would be Madar, Wyandi, Bonsai Poppy, Noog, Dead Code, Valerian, Mookie, Nighthawk, Rue, Tizix, or pardon me, Zizix, No Delete, Fat Ninja, Termin Jones, and Tech Freak. Thank you so much. And a digital baptism. We do have a digital baptism today. This one's very, very cool. Check this out. Hey, Sean. There's a bit of feedback here. I've discovered Rant Radio, and in recent months have become an avid, raging fan of yours. So I thought I'd request to make your Uber baptism skills. Me and a few mates are registering a domain for our sites, blogs, and various rants and stuff. But we're stuck for a cool name to register. This is neat. We're after something nice and philosophical sounding, perhaps with a cyberpunk digital appeal. We know domain names aren't something you usually do, but I hear you've done pets and computers before, so why not? We look forward to hearing what you come up with, and keep up the good work. And that's very cool. So I've sent them their domain name, because I'm not going to actually say the domain name, and if they use it, that'll be great, because I checked if it was available, found a good one. If they use it, great, and I'll let you know what that was. But it's neat. If you've got domain names, I'll do that too. Digital baptisms are everyone. I'm not digitally baptismally challenged. I'll just do anyone who comes along, like Richard, who is now known as Listful.
List, L-I-S-T, dash, full. As in list less, only now you're list full, which I think is very cool. And in upcoming events, we've got Nauticon. This is the second year for Nauticon, which is not another con. And that's from April 8th to the 10th in Cleveland, Ohio. This is Nauticon's second year. Still not as well known as DEF CON or 2600's Hope, but it's the only hacker convention in the Midwest since Rubicon in Michigan stopped. Plus, this, and we will find a few more hackers wogs that can make it. It's $70 at the door, plus if you stay at the hotel, which is discounted going with friends, it's nicer than splitting the hotel charge. Feel free to use to IRC Froggy and Tigger on one's charges how to help. And the server for their IRC channel is irc.cwru.edu. The channel is #Nauticon, all one word. And they're talking. They wanted us to sponsor them and stuff like that. I don't know. That's not up to me. But I think their concept of a con, anything that gathers people together, is good. So, and they want to hand out CDs and stuff like that. So any gatherings that exist where people can get together, WOGs, counterculture, anything that's unity, I'm behind that. And that's why I'm giving. So check out the link. Check it out. Nauticon is something you may wish to attend if you're in the region. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information, any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music that's in the background for the majority of the show, be sure to pick up the album Cosmic Experience by Electric Universe. Very, very cool. Now, we're going to leave you with a tune from Tried, which is very, very hot from their little album they sent me. It's I think they're kind of like Cybernetic Delirium with like a Matrix funk. I think it's very, very neat. And their song they sent me is called Rewind. Very cool. Check it out. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.